We are blessed today to be a part to recognize and acknowledge the work and activity of the Lord in the life of our church family. And there are a lot of different ways that he is working, and I trust that he will be glorified in the time that we spend together today. As I've been sharing with you for the last couple of weeks, we're at a place in our journey with our Next Gen Ministry model of introducing and or have introduced, and now you get to see firsthand our candidate, Ashley Honeycutt, who we are recommending to our church family to affirm as our Next Gen pastor. Now, in our first hour, there was overwhelming affirmation of extending that call. Ashley asked, he said, "What happens if it's affirmed in the 9 o'clock and not in the 10:30? I said, "Well, you'll be the 9 o'clock Next Gen pastor." I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but it's been years ago, a dear brother in the Lord who is now with the Lord, who used to sit in the balcony, and he told me, he said, if you don't straighten up, we're going to call our own pastor. So you guys don't get any ideas up there that you can call your own pastor in the balcony. So, Ashley, all I can do, brothers, pray that they don't mess it up, right? Here, thank y'all so much for being here. It is an exciting time for our church family. I want you to know that there were a couple other candidates that I personally talked with in the process of screening to make a recommendation to our personnel committee. And they were all good candidates. There was one in particular that I asked a question: what do you see yourself doing in the next 5 to 10 years? And he said, "Well, I think in the next 5 to 10 years I'll be pastoring." And thank the Lord for those that are called to pastor. Amen. But I encouraged this particular candidate and assured him that God would have a place for him, but we needed someone who had a heart for discipling families, and not just for a period of time, but a calling, a lifetime calling. And I am convinced this morning that Ashley is such a representative, that he will be one that will be doing family ministry, and he has served, and he'll share more detail in just a moment in his testimony. He has served 17 years faithfully in a church family. And so my prayer is that we'll see that type of tenure here as he continues growing and maturing as a servant of the Lord, and in particular the area of Next Gen ministry. And so we're excited to have Ashley, Amy, and the children. We'll introduce them in just a moment. We took a huge risk at the 9 o'clock hour, and Ashley was here without his family because, needless to say, Ashley, they are a bonus to have with you. So they did come in at the end of that hour, and our folks had the opportunity to formally greet them and welcome them, and you'll have the same opportunity as well. So, Ashley, brother, I'm going to ask you if you'll come. You'll notice that I'm saying he is sharing his testimony of God's work in his life to bring him to this place of being a candidate to present himself. So I want to emphasize that he is sharing his testimony, so I don't want to hear anything about length, okay? I don't want to hear any of those conversations. This is a testimony, all right? Next time you come, you'll hear a sermon, right, Ron? That's right. Ashley, brother, you come.
I don't know if this is a sign, but my button just shot off my jacket. Not my pants, my jacket. So stick that in my pocket. So that way we got it out of there. You guys were looking. Is he missing a button? I am. It's in my pocket. So just fell off there. So, hey, it is an honor to be here. It's a journey that has brought me here. It's great. This person, I didn't share this in first service because I'm betting they're in this service. I was at a D-Now about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We're wrapping it up. We're right in the middle. We're wrapping up. We're in the middle of our session. One of my leaders gets a text from somebody in this room, I'm guessing. And if you want to raise your hand, I'll pray for you. But anyway, sends a text to one of my leaders of the little handout that you guys got 2 weeks ago calling, announcing me to your church. And so I think the text went something like, isn't this your church? And so, a little awkward, but we're good. So, before that, I had not talked to our staff, not talked to all of our children. So, yeah, you guys knew way before some other people knew. So, it was kind of funny, but it did, we did keep it under wraps. And then even funnier, I'll share this too. Looking in the bulletin this morning, you guys are hiring Sarah Littlejohn. That may mean nothing to you guys, but crazy, I knew them from years past. I was at their wedding. Josh, her husband, actually served under me for a year. So it's just amazing how God has put all this stuff together. So really cool, really an honor to be here. The Lord has been preparing me for this day for a couple years. We started several years ago. I was going to these same conferences that Travis and your staff were going to, and we didn't even realize it. I did not know Travis, didn't really know your staff. I knew Ron. Ron and I had served at the convention together, and so I knew Ron pretty well. And so, you know, we would just kind of listen and learn together, not knowing where God would lead us. So my name is Ashley Honeycutt. I grew up in a small town called Locust, North Carolina. Nope, we got one. I think another service, a couple people had heard of it. It's somewhere between Albemarle and Charlotte. So we're right there on 2427 Albemarle Road. I was raised in a Christian home. I did pretty good as a kid to be a boy. You know, I mean, I grew up pretty okay. Wasn't into too much trouble. But it was during high school that God began preparing me and calling me into ministry. And it's just like any good 16, 17, 18-year-old boy would do. I said, no way. I said, there's no way I can do that, because I was from a small town, a small church, and all I knew was churches had preachers and missionaries to China. And I didn't realize they had senior pastors and preaching pastors and next-gen pastors and student pastors and put a name in front of it and call them a pastor. I had no idea. And so I said, God, there's no way. I'm not a preacher. I can't do it. And I said, and furthermore, I can't even speak English. There's no way I can go to China and be a missionary and speak on your behalf. So we wrestled with that. I felt like I won. So anyway, went to college. I went there to major in sports. And so didn't care about a degree. Wanted to go play football. So he let me have it my way. I played football for a year. And then it was the first day of practice, our second year. You can laugh at this, but made it through practice okay. Two-a-day, as a matter of fact. And then I went to bed that night, and the ceiling of my dorm room caved in on me. And that ceiling, when it caved in, it knocked me on a concrete floor, and I landed on my elbow and shattered my elbow. And so it was at that point, sports was over. They even said if I went outside and played rec ball, I should be wearing a brace on it, and I would never have full use of it, and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, at that moment, not only was my elbow shattered, but my life was shattered, because sports was my identity. Football was who I am. That's who I had made my God. And so that was where my life was at. And so I didn't know, I honestly didn't know how I was going to cope and do life without sports. So fast forward, and again, God is always, He knows what's best. And so in that moment, about a year later, He brought me to this small little university down the street. They wear a lot of red. And so He brought me to NC State University, the next thing to heaven. And so I realized what I thought was meant bad for me, that I wasn't going to have sports, He took me to heaven. And so I was at NC State. And so it was there. It was a Thursday night. I was sitting in Campus Crusade for Christ. And I was in there, and I remember the pastor, and I remember the message. But he was talking about the one percenters. And so he was talking about giving your all to Christ, that we hold out just a little bit. And that's exactly who I was. I'd given my whole life, I'd given everything to God, but I held out that 1% because I still want to do things my way. And it was there that I said to Him, God, if you want me to be a preacher, I'll try. If you want to send me to China, And so, you know, because that was the only thing I knew. And so it was like a load was taken off of me that day. And He was like, you're crazy. I don't know if you could ever be a preacher. And there's no way I'll send you to China. You'd mess it up over there. So, but it's just that being the surrendering everything to Him. And He said, I'll use you where and when I need you. And so I graduated from NC State, went back home. My father owned a cabinet shop, so I built cabinets for him. I thought, I almost felt like a failure. I'm like, God, I finally surrendered everything, and you're not using me. What am I supposed to do? And so it was there one day I was actually working, and someone that I'd gone to NC State with called me and said, hey, our church is looking for a student pastor. Would you be willing to interview? I was like, sure, you know, I'll get mom and dad off my back. I'm looking for a real job, right? And so I said, sure. She's like, we've been looking for about a year and a half or so, and the right guy hadn't come. I'm like, whoa, if you've been looking for a year and a half and you think it's me, we're both in trouble. And so we played phone tag a little bit, and their schedule wasn't working, my schedule wasn't working. And so finally we made it, it wasn't working. So I told Amy, was my girlfriend at the time. So I said, hey, let's just go over there. Let's fill them out a little bit. And so that morning we got in the car. I picked her up. We weren't together. So just remember that. So that morning I went and picked her up. And so we went, and not knowing, the pastor had called a meeting that morning with the deacons and said, guys, we've got to get a little more serious about this youth pastor. We've got to get someone in here. The guy we're looking for is not just going to walk through the door. And it was that morning that we walked right through the door. And so the rest was history. They hired me for two students. That's crazy, I know. They gave me a budget, a credit card, and two students that said, go for it. And so we began our journey. And it was there at Hopewell Baptist Church. I've been there for 17 years. And I've got the privilege to be a part and watch God do amazing things. He's built buildings. We've helped plant a biker church. We've started other churches in Massachusetts. We have multiple campuses. Similar to what you guys are talking about doing, we have campuses that are close enough to drive back and forth, and we have a campus in Wadesboro, North Carolina. The student ministry now is larger than the church was when we started. We've seen thousands of people come to know God in our church and go out and serve, not to mention all the people that we've got to be a part of internationally that we get to serve and be beside of. We also partner with the same group in Haiti that you guys partner with, Fennell. Matter of fact, my first trip to Haiti was with Ron and some other guys. And so in addition to that, we've watched an amazing recreation ministry grow to hundreds of kids playing, that we've seen God touch families and God touch little kids and God touch older kids, and just see Him do amazing things. So all this time, God's been preparing me for what He wanted to use me for. Also, during the 17 years, I did marry my wife, Amy. We've had a couple kids. Finley, she's 11. Banks is 10 years old. Bryce will be 9 next month. So it's easy when they're 9, 10, 11. I don't have much problem. But when they mess that up, I get off. Sloan is 5 years old, and Brooks is 19 months. And the answer is yes, yes, and I don't know. Because you're thinking it in your head. You're like, does he know what causes that? You're thinking, does he not have a hobby, you know? Yes! And how are we going to pay for car insurance in college? I don't know. So those are the questions we usually get. So, and I didn't put it on there, and are you done? And she said, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't have her in first service, but yes. So, that's us in a nutshell, but like I said, a couple years ago, God began working in me, just gave me a passion for families, a passion for parents, and a passion for what this is going to look like. I realize that we're not doing it. And when I say we, it's fingers pointing at me, fingers pointing at the church, fingers pointing at the world, that we're not doing the best job that we can do in discipling our children and our grandchildren and that next generation. And so in that time, you know, God began working in me, and I realized it's not because we're doing a bad job. It's not because we don't want to. It's not because we don't care. It's because sometimes we're just not confident enough. Or maybe we don't feel like we're trained, like we're adequate enough to do it. You know, maybe we've never been discipled. So if I've never been discipled, how can I disciple? And so we don't want to mess up our children. You know, with a twitch, we say, hey, we turned out all right, you know? And so we're just trying to figure it out. And so I wanted to figure out, how can I come alongside families and help them. So I, on my own, just kind of began studying this whole next gen ministry and what it looked like. I went to our pastor and just kind of presented the idea and what it would look like. And we discussed that and we talked about it. And at the time, it just wasn't the right culture and the right timing at our church to do it as a church whole. And so I began using this model in my student ministry. I use these principles in our student ministry with our parents. Some of the things we would do, it was called parenting together. And so we would just have parents come in. We would either lead them in something. We put them in round table discussions. We would sit some 12th grade parents with a 9th grade parent. And so they can ask questions and, hey, what happened when? And how did you handle this? And so they began talking and doing things like that. We also done, I taught a class on intentional parenting. I'm not really sure how to do it. I'm just trying to teach it right out of the book. So, you know, we taught some classes. Also, we send out monthly newsletters with some information, some scripture, some questions that if parents choose to sit down with their child and go over those things, we're providing it for them. Do I think 100% of our parents are doing it? No. 50%? Probably not. 0.25%? Well, if I lie to myself, you know. But the thing is, we're equipping them. And so that's what we want to do here. We want to be able to put things in your lap that you can have at your disposal and continue to disciple and develop your child or your grandchild. Then one week, I've been at work, done the whole week, and I ran into a wall. And I can't explain it, don't know what it was. But I just thought, man, what is going on? I'm not sure what God's up to. And I was foggy, and I'm just like, I've got to get away. I've got to pray. And so that Friday, I took my 15-month-old at the time, threw him on my back without my wife really knowing. It was 30 degrees in the mountains. And so we went up to the mountains, and I didn't take a coat with him. So anyway, threw him on my back. We went hiking for over 5 miles. His legs were really cold when we got back in the truck. But anyway, he may have had hypothermia, but he made it. So he didn't complain because he couldn't talk. So, and as long as you'll keep feeding him, he was on my back, he was good. But I just walked, I prayed, I hiked, and just asked God. I said, God, what is it? What are you doing? Am I missing something here? Are you trying to do something? Am I doing something wrong? What's going on? And so came back, put a coat on my kid. And so I believe it was a Monday afternoon, one of your members called me and said, hey, been praying, been thinking, God put you on my mind. Our church is looking for a next gen pastor. And I know you'd mentioned that to me before and just wanted to put a bug in your ear and see what you thought. I was excited. I'm like, this is awesome. This would be incredible. But as exciting as I was in the moment, I realized, how's that going to work? You know, I've got 5 kids. My wife's got a job. I've got a job. And so, you know, what would this look like? And so it began a journey, another journey. And so I began praying for that. And I thought, God, you've got to open so many doors to make this happen. Only you can do it. And as I began to pray, and I was connected with Travis, and as Travis began to pray, and as the church staff began to pray, God just not only opened doors, but flung them open. You know, again, I told you it's not a good thing to make deals with God. But I'm like, God, if this is going to work, I need to get to here. And he said, okay. And he opened the door to here. And then another thing would happen. I'm like, God, if it's going to work, somewhere in here. And he took it over there. And everything that I thought was going to be an obstacle for myself and or my family, he just began slinging the doors open. And so here we are. And so he's got us this far. First service approved, so we'll keep going. So, you know, we continue moving on. But as I ran into that wall and we continued praying, God did those things. So I just want to tell you, my goal is not to come in here and to change everything. As we've talked about the next gen ministry, it's how can we walk beside of each other. As we continue this, it's how do we walk beside families? How do families walk beside the church? How do we lock arms together? I didn't share this in first service, but someone asked me this week, tell me exactly what next gen is. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of things out there. I said, but the best way I can describe it is kind of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I said, you know, you've got the students, they're one piece of bread, and the parents, they're the other piece of bread. I said, I'm that sticky goo in the middle that tries to connect us. And so I hope that's close. But, you know, we're just trying to walk beside of each other and disciple our students and our families and make our parents the best disciples they can be to their kids. We want to have the best preschoolers all the way to graduates. But like I said, the church can't do it alone. So what does it look like? Is it something that we're going to change? Is it something that it's like, my day's already busy. I already squeezed 28 hours into 24. You know, how can I do one more thing? And the answer is, you don't have to. The thing is, how can we walk beside you to give you conversation starters to start at the dinner table with your teenagers? Or maybe it's to give you something, a little lesson or a little something that you can take home with your toddler or your child. You'd be like, what did you learn? Tell me about this. What is this? Not just you're sitting at the table and how was your day? Good. Did you have fun? Yes. What are you planning on doing this afternoon? I don't know. So, you know, we want you to be able to have that conversation with them. And so this is, again, this is not something, another silo that says, hey, we got preschool, we got children, we got youth, we got this. Oh, and we have next gen. And that's not it. It's how we do it daily. And it's scriptural. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy 6. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Hang on that one. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So talk about it while you're sitting at home. So while you're watching that ball game, while you're watching TV, while you're watching cartoons, something good comes on. Hey, how does that point us to God? How does that point us to Christ? How does that make us better? Was that a good choice? Was that a bad choice? You're watching a game, a commercial comes on, and your kid's like, whoa, what is that? It's an opportunity to disciple them and walk through that while you're sitting at home. Not carving out another 45 minutes, but doing that. Then the scripture goes on to say, when you lie down and when you get up. You know, maybe you start your morning with your children with a prayer. Maybe you pray over them. Maybe you pray on your way to school. Those are ways you can do it. When you lie down at night, read the scripture. Read, have a devotion with them. Again, instilling what God has done for us in our children. Tie them as symbols around our hands. Make yourself a reminder. You know, whether it's on your phone or what is, set an alarm to be intentional. Tell your kids what God has done in your life that day. Ask them where they've seen God in their life that day. And is it going to be awkward? Yes. Is it going to be weird at first if we don't do it? Absolutely. But it begins knocking those walls down. And when they realize they can trust you, that's when your relationship with your child will completely change. You're like, well, I've got a high schooler. I've got a college student. It's not too late. We're all still breathing, right? And God can do amazing things through those things. So remind yourselves to be intentional. Write them on the door frames of your house. Sharpies, black paint, you know, you're good. No, you've got Post-its. You've got stickies. You know, stick one in your child's lunchbox. Stick one on their mirror when they're getting up to go to work. Stick one on their door frame. Put one on their pillow. Put one in their car. You know, give them encouragement. Write some scripture on it that you're going to pray over them that day. So write them on the door frames of your houses. And so these are just a few of the ways that we hope to be able to walk beside of you, to partner with you, and to just go along and build a family ministry, a next-gen ministry here so that we can watch that child being born. And as they go away to college, as they finish college and they go into a young adulthood, we can look, not anything that we've done, but we can say, wow, look what God has done when the family and the church has come together to have a disciple. So thank you for letting me share my heart. Thank you for allowing me to just be here with you guys today. Thank you.